Listen, put me in the parking lot, you know, with bears, and I'll go out there and play. It don't matter.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm Zach Blackerby. Happy Ferg Friday, everyone. Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, man?
I'm good. We're going to start this show off different than we have any other podcast.
Okay.
I have something to give you.
Oh, what is it?
Oh, here. Let me get it real quick.
No, this is. This
I
is,
want
this
to.
Yes, sir.
What did I just hand you, Jay?
You just handed me a fantasy football trophy. And this is a big honor because I have never won a fantasy football league, at least not one without with a trophy. And so I am.
Well, it's about 2 feet tall.
Yeah,
it's a big plaque with an armchair quarterback.
The armchair quarterback is perfect. Like yeah. I am very honored to have this now.
A lot of legendary names on there.
Oh, for
I'm
sure.
I'm on there a few times.
You're
Noah
on there.
Gardner, friend of the program's on there.
Yeah, Zach's on here 3 times.
Chris, so. Jeremy, my buddy's been on here a few times. He's my buddy up in Birmingham. And then at the top right, it's scratched out due to controversy, but friend of the program, Christian Page, that was him there. So
yeah, that was before I got in the league. So
you didn't get to live through that drama. But yeah, wild stuff. Now, congrats. Sorry it took so long. Jeremy had it, and he came down this last weekend and brought it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to give that to Jay Ferg.
So, oh, man, hey, this is going to look great in my apartment.
Sure, man.
It definitely is.
You got to get it engraved, though. That's your responsibility.
Okay, got it.
So
can do.
All right, so you've been putting up great stuff on the Auburn Observer, of course. But first things first, let's talk about signing day. Obviously, and let's have this conversation with the assumption that Auburn lands Jarquez Hunter mm-hmm. Friday morning.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty safe assumption at this point. Nothing's guaranteed in recruiting, but that has been trending to Auburn for quite some time
right.
now. You know, I think the big takeaway for this class is like it's not when you look at the national rankings, you're like, oh, this isn't great, but like, man, it could have been a lot worse for Auburn. The fact that they were able to pick up 6 guys and have room to get some more here down the stretch, but they feel like they're going to. I mean, that's a big deal because any little bit helps when you're talking about this roster moving forward. This is still a talented roster, but like the effects of this coaching change and what this meant for this recruiting class, they're not going to be felt for 2 or 3 years down the road, right? Because there's still a lot of good stuff around it, a lot of higher powered classes, but
yeah.
I think Auburn went out and did the best that they could in this situation where you look and say, okay, most of the early signing period, all your blue chips are almost pretty much sealed up.
Right.
Most of the work is already done for the bigger teams. Go find some 3 stars that fit into your program and guys that you feel like want to be developmental pieces for the future. Go find another Daniel Thomas. Go find another Roger McCreary. Go find a Booby Whitlow. Go find somebody like that in this class. And I think that's what they focused on. I think they've got some good candidates out of that.
Who are some of the 3-star guys, kind of the tier 2 players that a lot of people would see them as plan B guys for Auburn that could end up making a really big impact on this roster? You got a few?
I like Jawan Gaston a lot.
Sure.
And the big thing that helped me with Jawan Gaston where I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy's got it. He told reporters after he signed on Wednesday that he wants to be the next Daniel Thomas. He specifically said, like, I want to be like that guy. You know, kind of underrated safety coming out of Montgomery. Those guys are all close, that public school system is. The guys who come out of the football programs over there. And just come in and say, hey, I don't want to be – like, it's not like, hey, I'm going to come in and I'm going to be, you know, Smoke Monday or Jamie and Sherman's. Like, no, I want to come in and be Daniel Thomas. I want to – develop and grow and get to the point that one day I'm playing in the NFL and I'm a draft pick.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, most people didn't think coming out of high school it'd be me. He's a ball hawk. He's a hard hitter. I like his physical makeup at safety. It's just going to be, can he get better? Can he grow? It helps to have Derek Mason coaching you. So Gaston's a big one for me. And I think the other one is just because of what he means to the roster. Colby Smith. He's a mountain.
The tackle.
Yeah. 6'8". He's got really good size. If you watch him on film,
he's a lean 6'8" too.
Yeah, he's a lean 6'8". He's got a lot of athleticism. You know, I think a lot of the technique and the finer points that you learn early on in your career to be a college lineman, that's going to have to come. Mm-hmm. This dude played defensive line and was like getting in the backfield pretty regularly.
He can move.
Yeah, plays basketball as well. I think he's a good piece for down the road. He's a borderline 3-4 star. 247 has him as a 4 star.
We're counting them as a 4 star, then.
Yeah, let's count him as a 4 star. Look, it's a blue chip, quote unquote, offensive lineman out of offensive tackle out of high school. Auburn hadn't had one of those since Austin Troxell. Like that is a big deal, because this team needs more youth and more talent along that offensive line.
You know, everybody's talking about, he's the first offensive tackle that Auburn's gotten since 17. Jeremy Minton, he listens to the show a ton. He pointed out that Tate Johnson played tackle, even mm-hmm. though he was recruited as a guard. Yep. So technically Tate was a tackle.
Right. And there's the other thing that, like, Cam Stutz was a tackle in high school, but he's played nothing but guard here.
Sure.
So, like, there is that flexibility.
You look at Colby, like, he is a D1 tackle.
And the interesting thing is that yesterday, in the release that Auburn sent out of all their guys that they've signed so far, they mentioned Garner Langlois, who signed in the early period as a tackle. Now, he played guard in high school and tackle. He's 6'7".
He's got the body to play tackle.
Yeah, he's 6'7". I think he's 280. He's listed at 280, so he's got some weight to put on
sure.
at the SEC level. But like, if Auburn can say, "Hey, those are two tackles that we've got," it's been a minute.
On yesterday's Locked On Auburn, I said if I had to pick one guy, especially of the, you know, the six that signed on signing day,
mm-hmm.
if I had to pick one guy to have like multiple years starting for the Auburn Tigers, I'm picking Colby just for the sake of position. Like after this group of linemen, these upperclassmen, they either go pro or they leave. He's probably the guy for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean he's one of those dudes that I think with the right development and he could be a starter, a good starter. Because he's got what it takes. It's just a matter of, like, it's something I pointed out the other day to somebody. You know, you think about how good Alabama's offensive linemen have been.
Yeah.
You know, in the Saban era, they've only had one start as a true freshman and, like, be really good at the beginning. That was Jonah Williams. And, like, all those dudes, they needed time to develop. So if you're playing from a little bit farther back in the recruiting cycle, in the recruiting rankings, you need to give those guys some time to grow. I also, you know, big fan of Tarvarish Dawson.
Yeah.
Just to get his versatility, the fact that he's another South Florida dude with a ton of speed that played quarterback in high school and has really good agility and can be a return man. It's like, oh, Auburn's had pretty good success with dudes like that in the past.
Sure,
there's a good little run there, and I think he really has great upside at Auburn. It's just gonna be kind of where he fits.
Yeah, he looks like a Ryan Davis type of guy to me.
Looks like a Ryan Davis type of guy. He's got a little bit of that straight line speed that you liked, how like Ricardo Lewis, very similar kind of backgrounds there. So there's a lot to like about that.
You're listening to Locked On Auburn. We only have one more chance to bet on football for this 2020 season. And I know that you want to jump in and kind of get your fill, get your fix for the next several months, and you can do that at betonline.ag. It's the one place that has you covered and the one place that we trust. Tons of prop bets, tons of, you know, who's going to be the first player to score, the last player to score, all kinds of things. Will Andy Reid say the word burger in the broadcast? Or which head coach will you see their nostrils first? All kinds of fun things at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in on the action. It's the biggest game of the year. You want in on it. You want a stake, and you can do that. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. So just to kind of talk people off the ledge here, you put up a story Thursday morning about roster management, where Auburn sits with scholarships, all that good stuff. And kind of talking about how long certain guys have their eligibility to.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, if Auburn was to have a year where they really fell off in recruiting, it really works out that it was this year.
Yeah. Yeah, because like there's a chance, and not everybody's going to take it the same way, but there is a chance that the freshman from the 2019 class that you redshirted, the kids in the freshmen you brought in 2020 and these incoming kids in 2021 are all going to be on the same eligibility clock now because 2020 didn't count. So, like, now you're playing with – this is a young roster.
Yeah.
If these guys can maximize – now, not everybody's going to do that. Everybody knows that Tank Bigsby's 3 years and done,
mm-hmm.
right? Everybody – like, Smoke Monday and Roger McCreary technically have 2 years left to play in college. Owen Papo would have three. We know that those guys are not going to max it out. But the potential is there. The pieces are there, especially when you get into the guys further down on the depth chart, the redshirt guys. You're going to give these guys more time to develop. And, yeah, you're right. It is. It has worked out. And, really, if you look at the balance of this roster in terms of where they are in recruiting, the only spot that kind of takes you where you're like, ooh, that might not be good, is the fact that on the offensive line, more than half of your offensive linemen right now have at most 2 years of eligibility left.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a big exodus at some point on the offensive line.
That may not be bad. If you reload it properly, that may be a good thing.
You got to reload it properly. And here's one thing. Brian Harsin said on Wednesday, offensive line was one of the three position groups they were specifically targeting to help fill out the rest of this class. They could use some transfers who have maybe three years of eligibility, yep. four with some experience, bring those guys into the play and try to backfill for the fact that over the last couple of years they have not gotten very many high school offensive linemen because you don't want to hit a situation where, oh, yeah, we've developed these guys down the list, but there's only eight or nine of them now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to live like that as an offensive line in the SEC. And then in general, you just got to get more talent. We know that that is the place where Auburn is farthest behind the rest of the championship contenders in college football when it comes to talent.
So you made a spreadsheet. Is this a subscriber-only thing, the spreadsheet?
Yes.
Okay. So you –
link is, yes. Yeah.
You don't have Grant Loy on there. Did I miss that? Is Grant Loy gone?
I think Grant Loy is gone.
Okay.
I'll have to double check on that. But Grant,
I don't mean to put you on the spot, that surprised me.
Grant Loy was a senior last year, correct? I believe he was.
Yeah, he was a grad transfer.
Right, he was a grad transfer and a senior. Yesterday, Brian Harsin said the guys who have said that they are coming back who are seniors are the ones that that are going to be back. So that would not only rule out Grant Loy, it would also rule out Tyrone Truesdell. We haven't heard anything about him. But the fact that we know that T.D. Moultrie is back, Trayvon Leonard's opting back in, Devin Barrett's back in, and he's running back now, which is a really big deal, I think, for Auburn.
I love that.
There's another one that I'm blanking on. Chandler Wooten is back as well at linebacker.
Right.
So that would rule out Loy. Now, as I said, that's unofficial subject change. If Grant Loy pops up and we're like, oh, he's still here, you can update it with that. But, yeah, that's a really good question. I had been working under the assumption that he was not back.
Sure.
But you can always double check.
I mean, we always see the sappy tweets, right? Like, all right, I'm gone.
Right, exactly.
Like, thank you, Grant Loy, for telling us.
And you got some of that from, like, when, like, Cort Sandberg left.
Right.
But then the fact
the
that
the end
like,
of an era, I mean.
The fact that we didn't get anything like that from Tyrone Truesdell was interesting because we got it from pretty much everybody else on that defense.
Well, there's some stuff on, I don't know if it's on Twitter or the Auburn Undercover Board or what, but there was some rumblings that Truesdell may be back, but then like that disappeared. So
And yesterday, the question was asked, it was like, I think it was Bill Cameron who asked him that. It was like, okay, we know Moultrie's back, we know Wooden's back, we know Trayvon Leonard's back. Who else is back? If Barrett's back, who else is back, if anybody? And Harsin was like, those are the guys. Okay. We don't anticipate any more coming back.
Bill Cameron knows Auburn's depth chart better than anyone. He updates it every day and like keeps it in his bag.
His depth chart puts mine to absolute shame.
I mean, he spent years like I think he like crafted it like 20 years ago, and he's just like updated the same file for like
yes.
20 years.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where like I would love to like buy it from him and just be like, yes, I will. I want to reference this because it's amazing.
I would pay for that service if he just updated it like a Google Drive or something. Oh, I would pay for that.
And he has a in spring ball is his time to rock. Like when he starts getting in. He starts
the drive is muscless in radio during spring practice.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he'll like read boards and talk to people, and then like he'll adjust it. It's like, what did Bill hear about the cornerbacks or something like that?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So yeah, be sure to check that out. But yeah, so, all right. So I'm sure this has been a fun off season for you so far, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. This is going to be the most exciting and eventful offseason that we've covered in Auburn in the last decade, right?
Yeah.
And so looking at it, like the storylines now, I think now that you have the signing class in, I think the big talking points, who's starting in the front seven?
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the biggest storyline of the offseason for me.
And it is a massive, especially when you talk about the edge rushers and the defensive line.
There's a logjam, man.
There are so many guys, and then it's like, where do they fit? Where does a dude like Derek Hall fit? Where does a dude like Colby Wooden fit? Like, what position do they see them at? Because there's so much versatility up there. And then you go get a guy like Aku Leota coming out of Northwestern. He's an edge rusher with experience.
I'm really excited about him.
He looks, I mean, I only got to watch just a kind of a few games of him of his film.
He didn't play a whole lot.
Yeah, he didn't play a ton. But when he did, man, he was really, really fit. At the Purdue game last season, he was a menace off the edge because he's very agile and very, like, he has good bend to him, I think.
His first step is good, but, like, so it's always, like, so fast where, like, sometimes it takes him out of the play.
Right. You have that. You know, sometimes you get into that with pass rushers. But for Auburn, it's like, hey, man.
So Jeff Holland.
Yeah, it's like, well, and then Jeff Holland really has been the last edge rusher for Auburn to be like, I'm a sack guy. This is what I do. And that has been a criticism of Auburn's defense line, even in the good years. Derek Brown and Marlon Davison covered for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That they were natural pass rushers as power kind of guys that you could live without having that speed dude off the edge. This past year, you could tell that made a really, really big difference, especially when you got to third downs.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. But you look at guys like, I think Zacoby and Owen both would be a great buck, but they're so good at linebacker, you're not going to move them from there. But
and you tried with T.D. Moultrie, and I think T.D. Moultrie is a guy that moving back to his natural position at linebacker in this system makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, it's like, it's not a part, like, you can't just say, oh, well, he checks all the boxes, it's going to definitely work. You know?
Does Rocco Willis start at linebacker?
So Rocco Willis is a Joko Willis.
Joko, yes, yeah. Thank you.
Joko Willis is a really interesting case because he is going to play football this spring because Independence moved their season back to the spring, like most JUCOs did. He redshirted that first year there. He did not play. He is going to play the spring season. We believe that is a free year like it was in four-year college football. There's a chance that this dude's coming in as JUCO linebacker. He still has 4 years of eligibility left. So, like, you're getting a dude who has developed 2 years out of high school but still has the eligibility of a high schooler.
Why are they letting him play spring football?
Just because I think it's because of the way the JUCO system works. Like, he still needs to finish out that semester. I'm guessing that is what the case is there. Because you sign him right now, he's not in the early period. You're not getting him in for January.
Sure.
So he's going to be playing.
Why would they want him playing a season, though? Just from, like, a durability standpoint.
That's the thing with some of these JUCO guys that you're gonna have to look, wait and see for this year.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You're listening to Locked On Auburn. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure often pointless or intimidating questioning when they're just going to order the part just like you could? With that thing in your pocket, probably what you're listening to this podcast on, your phone or your computer, whatever. Go to rockauto.com, and I don't know anything about cars or vehicles or anything like that, but they make it so easy with their interface as far as, you know, you just pick out what you need, what kind of car you have, and it kind of gives you a few brands, and it's a great price. It's a great price because you don't have to pay the people that are ordering it for you a charge. You can order it directly from rockauto.com. The prices are the best in the business. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck or your SUV. Right, Locked On Auburn in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. That's at rockauto.com. Jay Ferg with the Auburn Observer. What's going on at the Auburn Observer these days? We've talked about some of the articles you've put up.
Yeah, a ton. We've got a story on defensive line up that came up on Monday. Some stories on Auburn basketball. That will continue here through this stretch. Got the scholarship breakdown, as Zach has pointed out. Mailbag out on Friday. A lot of stuff coming up in the next few weeks where we are going to try to pick through what we got going on, because man, spring football is a little over a month away, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you guys have stuff up pretty much every morning about 6 o'clock. I have an email hit my inbox. So head over to auburnobserver.com, sign up. It's worth every penny. And yeah, I mean, it's the best. I was having dinner with my neighbor earlier this week, and we were just talking about Auburn stuff. And I asked him if he subscribed to you, and he does.
There we go.
And we were talking about like how good of a deal it was. So definitely recommend it. If you have not subscribed to the Auburn Observer, it's worth every penny. Yeah, you do an outstanding job.
Thank you.
You're talking about basketball. Hasn't been a good past 7 days for the Tigers.
No, it hasn't. I mean, you had a first half against Baylor where you looked pretty good. Second half where it was like, oh, this team might be one of the best teams we've seen in college basketball in a decade, and you're not at that level yet. Then you go to Georgia, you come home and play Georgia, and, I mean, it was very obvious. Auburn was a step behind. They weren't prepared. They didn't look ready to play. Yeah. Chris Moore flat out said, I think we took them for granted. And you score 86 points, and you stay in the game, and you fight all the way to the end. But, man.
They were just giving them layups, man.
It was they gave up 91 points in the team, and the team was plus 22 in layups, dominated points in the paint. You know, there are defensive adjustments and issues that they have to fix. And mainly when they're playing man-to-man defense, you cannot get beat so much off the dribble. Yes, Auburn's length and their shot-blocking ability really helps them, you know, kind of bail them out at times. Yeah. But, man, if a team is crafty enough to get around those block attempts, they're either going to put the ball in the hole or you're going to give up offensive rebound chances. And Georgia beat them exactly the way they were supposed to on Tuesday night.
So I guess the optimistic way to look at this is – you travel to Texas, take on what I think is the best team in the country,
yeah.
And then you come home, short rest, because you're playing the early games, you're playing Tuesday, and then you were just tired. They looked tired. They looked worn out. They didn't look like they really wanted to play basketball.
And Pearl mentioned that as well as part of it.
Sure. I mean, with the combination of travel and just a quick turnaround.
It's a brutal January for them.
And then you've got an extra day now, instead of playing on Wednesday since you played on Tuesday, going into a home game against Ole Miss. Even though Ole Miss beat Tennessee earlier this week, that was a big win. They played on Tuesday as well. But I guess the if you want to look at this through orange and blue glasses, it's they were tired. They should be more rested now. Yep. They're at home. They should be able to take care of business against Ole Miss. But Ole Miss is going to be confident.
Ole Miss is going to be confident. I think one of the advantages you might have going into this game if you're Auburn is that Ole Miss is not a team that scores a ton.
Yeah.
They
beat Tennessee 52-50, I think.
Yeah, like that was the perfect game for Ole Miss. Now, they're going to force a lot of turnovers. They're going to try to score on the inside. That team on offense and defense is allergic to the three-point line. They just do not want to play out there. So that's one area where Auburn needs to take advantage. They're scoring. I mean, look, Sharif Cooper, you get after that game, you're like, man, Sharif didn't really have that outstanding game. Oh, he was 17-9. Yeah, there's a reason why people are talking about him as a top 10 pick right now.
Yeah.
So hold on to him when you can.
Yeah.
So you're scoring at a really high level. You just got to fix that defense, because here's what Ole Miss is going to want to do. They're going to watch film from what Georgia did and say, we can do the exact same thing because we don't want to shoot threes. Now, Georgia did a good job of hitting those threes when they were open, but
right.
Like they don't want to do that. They want to get inside and you know, kind of, you know, bang down low and get things going. And again, as Painter likes to say on our podcast all the time, Kermit Davis has been a tough matchup for Bruce Pearl teams historically.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Kermit's got his number, and he has been a hard one to figure out. These guys go way back.
Yeah, sure.
So it's an interesting case. Auburn's going to have to tweak and adjust, like Pearl said. If we don't adjust from what we did against Baylor, we're going to lose. Against Georgia, we're going to lose moving forward. They did not do that. They've got more time to make those adjustments. Because, buddy, I do not envy those players this week at practice.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you let them have it.
Good gracious, they're gonna get it.
The sports world will be paying attention, obviously, to the Super Bowl this weekend. Auburn has two defensive backs playing for Tampa.
Yep,
Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean.
Good luck, boys.
Yeah, good luck. They've got their hands full. They've got their hands full. Tyreek Hill popped for like 200 yards in the first half when they played in the regular season. So
yeah, Tyreek Hill doesn't run anything. It doesn't run just slants. So Carlton's gonna have a time with him.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter where he is, Mahomes is gonna be able to throw it to him. So yeah, be watching those guys, because if Tom Brady gets his seventh ring, Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean will be a big part of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that defense, you look back to the Saints game, you look back to how they held on. I mean,
they're peaking at the right time.
Right. And that was a that was a pass defense that was maligned for so long. And Jamel and Carlton, along with a couple other draft picks they made, has helped kind of turn that around in Tampa Bay. So, yeah, and they get to play at home, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool and weird. But, you know, the NFL, I can feel the Illuminati kind of going, oh, we're playing in Tampa Bay this year. Oh, Tom Brady just so happened to be in Tampa Bay. Oh, the NFC is having a down year with quarterbacks. That'll be interesting. But, yeah.
Of course Tom Brady's the first one to do that. Of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's just like you can't strip it anymore. So, either way, you're going to have Tom Brady, like, saying, hey, I can go to a new team and win a Super Bowl. It wasn't just the fact that I played on the Patriots. Or Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and those guys are going to win their second straight Super Bowl, which those repeats don't happen very often.
The NFL is very happy with what they have this weekend. Yeah. They are very, very happy. Jay Ferg, give us one more rundown quickly on what folks can expect with the Auburn Observer and how they can sign up.
Yeah, a lot of football analysis, a lot of basketball analysis, a couple podcasts a week, one free one on the weekends. Myself and Painter Sharpless, you can listen to that anywhere you listen to your podcast. Just search Auburn Observer. And if you subscribe for $6 a month or $60 a year at auburnobserver.com, you get the premium podcast as well. We put one up of those on Thursday morning.
Awesome, man. Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Sign up. It's worth it. Thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
We'll be back on Monday to recap everything happening over the weekend. This has been Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.